I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the fight over forever chemicals is reshaping how communities think about what's in their drinking water and also what's in their floors. The haunting story of PFAS brings into focus how stain-resistant carpets have been made in the U.S. with chemicals that persist in the environment and can remain in the human body for years. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
If you've collected a few classic cars over the years, and you also love public radio, consider this. Donate one of those classic cars to help TPR bring you the programming you love. The process is easy. That classic car will be matched with interested buyers and get top dollar at auction. Best of all, proceeds support Texas Public Radio. Learn more by visiting tpr.careasy.org. Thanks!
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The word PFAS has become something that many people now recognize, unfortunately. It's an abbreviation for the forever chemicals used in a lot of everyday products. And now we know that this is bad news. We, the public, now know that. But when did the people who made those products, when they made the chemicals for those products, when did they discover that? And did they still produce them, market them, and sell them to the public in order to make billions of dollars while knowing that? A recent Frontline documentary investigated that with a team up with the Associated Press, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Post and Courier, and AL.com. The documentary is called Contaminated, the Carpet Industry's Toxic Legacy. And you can watch it online on YouTube, on the Frontline YouTube channel. It's also at pbs.org/frontline on the PBS app and the PBS documentaries on Prime Video. Joining us now to tell us more about what's going on with this documentary and these PFAS, we're joined by Dylan Jackson. He's a reporter with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Dylan, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Jonathan Scheinberg. He is the director of the Frontline documentary. And Jonathan, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Jonathan, I need to know, when you're talking about this toxic industry of carpets and stuff, am I supposed to be afraid of my carpet?
If you do have a carpet that has PFAS in it, I that's obviously something to be aware of and be concerned about. But generally, the reality is that the exposure really comes through chemicals getting into our water systems, our food, our soil, and that's where the main exposure comes. You can get some exposure from the dust in your carpets from PFAS, but generally the understanding is the worst exposure comes through drinking water that these chemicals have been dumped into by industry.
Right. So the documentary focuses on the production of these products, like the carpets. And this happens mainly in a part of Georgia. Dylan, tell us about that.
Yeah. So, the story centers around Dalton, Georgia, and the region surrounding it in the northwest part of the state. Dalton is known as the carpet capital of the world. It's home to some of the biggest carpet and flooring companies in the country. And for many years, these companies used stain-resistant chemicals. We all know them by the brand names like Scotchgard and Stainmaster, eventually got into the watershed. And, the downstream effects from that are, in the river, in the soil, and we're finding it in people's blood in the region.
Our phone lines are open. You can call in with your questions and comments about PFAS, how they're getting into our water, and how what they do, what it means for our health. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Jonathan, in producing this frontline documentary. Is when you're talking about this particular problem in Georgia and how it also went into Alabama downstream, were you thinking about this as a localized problem, or there's lots of PFAS are in so many things?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of PFAS. I mean, there's PFAS in a lot of products industry, you know, all kinds of things, microwave popcorn, makeup, stain, you know, water and soil resistant shoe products and clothing products. So there are quite a number of things that have PFAS in it, and PFAS doesn't know state boundaries. When industry uses it, and in a case like Northwest Georgia, and what happened there with the carpet industry is that the chemicals that ended up in the river, as you mentioned, flowed downstream into Alabama and affected their water supply as well. And that happens, you know, around the country, because this is something that once it gets into the water, it moves through water systems and into drinking water systems. And you know, there are, you know, upwards of 50 million people around the United States that have PFAS in their drinking water systems at this stage, as we understand it.
And what happens when you have it in your drinking water, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, the chemicals have been linked to, they've been associated with various types of cancers. You know, it gets into your blood. It stays in your blood. It stays in your system for a number of years, and various types of cancers, thyroid cancer, various types of endocrine disrupting diseases. And so there are, you know, numerous health concerns associated with these chemicals that are being studied and looked at closely, because they're not something that breaks down easily in the body or in the environment.
Dylan Jackson, in your reporting in the Atlanta area, in the Georgia area, how bad, what levels are people testing PFAS?
Yeah, I mean, the scientists have told us that Northwest Georgia is one of the nation's hotspots for PFAS. And, you know, one of the best sort of measures of how it's affecting people or how it's turning up in people's blood, it was a test done by Dr. Dana Barr at Emory, and they tested about 177 or so folks in Rome and Calhoun, Georgia, which are downstream of Dalton. And, you know, in many cases, they were finding levels in the blood above published health guidelines. And, one character in our story, Dolly Baker, a cosmetologist in Calhoun, she had levels hundreds of times above what's considered, a health risk. So, it's definitely showing up in alarming numbers in a lot of people's blood in the area.
And how are they picking this up, the PFAS? How are those individuals, did they work for the carpet companies, or did they just happen to be exposed to them through third parties? How does that happen?
Yeah, so I mean, in Dolly's case, she never worked for directly for the carpet industry, but you know, as I said, this area is known as the carpet capital of the world, and everybody knows a friend or a family member who has some connection to carpet. And there's this real sense of this real tension between the industry that they've been proud of supporting for so many generations and this growing awareness that these chemicals are impacting their blood and, you know, potentially their health, right? But the thing is, you know, the contamination is so widespread that one doesn't need to work in carpet to have, PFAS in their blood at these levels. They simply just have to live in the area because it's in so much of the environment and the water there, right?
So. Right. So we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to dig into the what you find in your investigation. You go into the documents and see when did the companies know about PFAS? When did they know that this was this could really be a bad thing for the community. How do they react to that? And our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues after a one-minute break.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. But right now we're talking about a Frontline documentary. It recently aired, Contaminated, the Carpet Industry's Toxic Legacy. You can watch this online on YouTube and on the PBS Frontline, on their website and other places. So, you know, it's part of a multi-platform investigation into Northwest Georgia, a hub for carpet manufacturing, the population there, the people there, how they are turning up with very high levels of PFAS, forever chemicals, and it is definitely impacting the lives and health of so many people. A lot of lessons to be learned here for the rest of the country. We're speaking with Dylan Jackson, a reporter with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Jonathan Scheinberg, he is the director of this Frontline documentary. So, Jonathan Scheinberg, the corporations, what do they know? When did they know it? Why is that important?
Yeah, so to understand that piece of the story, you have to go back in time a bit and look at the chemical companies that made PFAS, largely 3M and DuPont. And they were making these chemicals, you know, back in the 50s and 60s.
They were miracle chemicals. Wow, did they did incredible things.
Yeah, they sure did. And they started to study them, not long after they were making them. And, by the 60s and 70s, they were finding toxic and carcinogenic impacts on various types of animals in the lab. And so the chemical companies knew for decades that these had potential harms and risks. And then the carpet companies really started to find out about this in the late 90s, early 2000s. And at that point, they were talking with the chemical companies and finding out more and more information about what the chemical companies knew about the specific type of PFAS chemicals they were using. And just to be clear, there are thousands of different types of PFAS chemicals. And I think, Dylan and Jason Dearen and other reporters who worked with us really dug into those documents that showed what Carpet learned at that time. So I think it would be good for him to talk about more specifically what they did learn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as Jonathan said, in the late 90s, 3M approached the carpet industry in Dalton to disclose before, the public knew that these chemicals were turning up in not just the blood of workers, but the blood of the general public. The industry continued to use these until about 2000 when this became public. 3M and EPA had announced that they were phasing out this version of Scotchgard with this particular PFAS in it and reformulating it. But the industry, stain resistance was really important to the industry, and they continued to use stain resistant chemicals that had other forms of PFAS in it that, almost right after the phase out, the EPA began looking into those too, and were growing concerned that these alternatives were just as persistent and, could raise similar health risks. And, for many years, the carpet industry continued to use these chemicals despite, growing alarm about these potential health risks. And, they would switch to different formulations, and they eventually began using what's known as short chain PFAS up until 2019, when they said that they got out of the use of PFAS and stain resistance for their carpets in the U.S.
Well, didn't they manufacture, Dylan, like a aerosol Scotchgard materials and they market it as, you know, you can spray it on your sofa and your upholstery and your car, inside your car, you know, to protect your car, you know, all these things. People were exposed to that at home, even if they didn't make, you know, work in the carpet industry, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, the carpet industry had a very specific use for stain-resistant chemicals, and they would apply it in their manufacturing process. And, you know, going back to the region, right, this sort of application of stain-resistant chemicals, which would then go in the wastewater, be sent to the utility that could not filter it out, is sort of the process of how the region has become so fully contaminated with these chemicals.
But I mean, people would be able to buy this at the store, just a can of aerosol of Scotchgard, and use it around the house. Scotchgard bomb your house to protect it from stains, because they had these long chain chemicals that were very hard to break down. And therefore, you know, that's why they were so good at resisting stains. What made them stain resistant is why they are so not good for your health. So Jonathan Scheinberg, you know, describe, you know, what is the labeling and the warning? Was that part of the marketing of these products?
Not that I'm aware of, you know, unless Dylan knows differently, there was no labeling or warning. Basically, as Dylan mentioned, the carpet industry, you know, switched between different PFAS chemicals as they learned about the risks and the dangers.
But they didn't tell the public. They didn't put out an ad saying now less deadly, you know, your carpet.
No, there was no, as far as we're aware from our reporting, warnings that they put out on the public or any, you know, anything like that or disclaimers. But they when they moved from one chemical to the other one, they stayed in that chemical for several years, even after learning about some of the risks associated with this alternative PFAS chemical that they had switched to. So, but not aware of any warnings or disclaimers that they put out to the public, no.
And Dylan, so 3M and DuPont, they knew early on that the chemicals that they were supplying to the carpet manufacturers were PFAS and could have health consequences. When did the carpet companies like Shaw, Mohawk, when did they begin to realize that this was a problem?
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to sort of this this late 90s disclosure and very public phase out of Scotchgard. But, you know, like I said, these chemicals were so crucial to the industry that they continued to use alternatives that had, you know, were similar in many ways to the discontinued Scotchgard product. And, you know, they were told early in part because, you know, they were a major customer for these chemicals. And like I said, they were very crucial to the business. And those years of usage sort of led to where we are today.
And where are we today?
I mean, you know, where we are today is sort of what brought us into this story, right? Last year, we saw that there were these lawsuits going on, these big numbers being thrown around about the costs of remediation and filtration, hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more. But what brought us to this was this sort of industry town idea, right, where the industry that sustained this community, it and their use of these chemicals led to where we are today. So for us, it was very important to, as an investigative team, draw these lines of accountability. And now we're seeing today, I just wrote a story today about how these chemicals are becoming a sort of key issue in this race in Northwest Georgia to replace Marjorie Taylor Greene. And these chemicals, you know, we're seeing protests and all sorts of things like that. It's really coming to the fore as both Republicans and Democrats realize in that area that these chemicals and the contamination and the remediation are very pressing issue and will continue to be an issue for a long time.
Yeah, just for background, Marjorie Taylor Greene resigned from her position in Congress. Early voting began to replace her on Monday, and the election will be on March the 10th. It is a jungle ballot with about 8 Republicans and I think 2 Democrats running in that race, and people are very interested in seeing how that turns out. I was wondering if this was going to be an issue in that area. Thanks for bringing that up, Dylan. So Jonathan, the documentary also looks at the role that Dalton's utilities play in this. They were supposed to be like cleaning out or doing some sort of the industrial wastewater, because it goes into the rivers, and the rivers are supposed to be, they're used for drinking water. How does all that work?
Yeah, so Dalton Utilities is a water utility that serves the area in Northwest Georgia, you know, roughly 200,000 customers and their drinking water. And the rivers are a source for the drinking water. And Dalton Utilities' responsibility is to filter out, you know, anything that's not safe for the drinking water for the residents in the area. Unfortunately, no water utility has the capacity to filter out PFAS unless they're using a, you know, special type of technology. There are, you know, efforts, you know, things like granular activated carbon, which is essentially just a Brita filter, a large Brita filter that they're putting in, you know, in places in Alabama and Northwest Georgia to help reduce these chemicals. And there is work on the ultimate, you know, technology, which is reverse osmosis, that actually can filter out PFAS. But generally, you know, water utilities do not have the ability to filter this out. And, you know, Dalton Utilities is suing the carpeting chemical companies. They claim that they didn't know, they weren't aware, you know, until I think roughly 2008 or 2009. You know, but our reporting and research shows, and Dylan can talk a little bit more deeply about this, that they had quite a close relationship with the carpet companies and were essentially, you know, existed to serve the carpet companies. So there's a lot of questions, you know, around what they knew and when as well in terms of, you know, the chemicals that were coming through from the carpet companies.
Well, Dylan, we're running out of time. I want to ask you about the EPA's role in all this. What have they done?
Yeah, I mean, the EPA, frankly, you know, a lot of experts would say they were slow to act on this, right? Again, you know, 3M pulled Scotch Garden in 2000, and there were no drinking water limits or proposed drinking water limits until 2024. So, you know, all the use of these products and this sending these products or PFAS into the wastewater, into the utility, which couldn't filter it out, all of that was perfectly above board in the EPA's eyes. And now, you know, federal regulators are sort of catching up to try to figure out how to really address these chemicals.
Dylan, how long do these chemicals remain intact?
It depends on the chemicals, but some decades, some longer, way longer than a decade. So, you know, these are going to be a problem.
But they sprayed them everywhere. You know, in the documentary, we see them just spraying the water through these lands, and getting into the creeks and into the rivers. It must be like entirely covered the whole place, Jonathan.
Yeah, that was part of the Dalton Utilities strategies, the land application system is what you're talking about. The utility, you know, tried to spray the wastewater on land to filter out more chemicals, but that doesn't work for PFAS. And ultimately what happened is, you know, when it rains, that flows downhill off of the land application system,
right,
and back into the water. So it's a circular system, and these chemicals were not, you know, being filtered out anyway.
Very scary.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Jonathan Scheinberg, director of the new Frontline documentary, Contaminated, the Carpet Industry's Toxic Legacy. Dylan Jackson, reporter with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Thank you for reporting on this. That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Talking to us today. Have a great day.